Priscus said, for weeks, he had a sickness that gave him nosebleeds. Maybe it got worse while he slept, and he drowned in his own blood. That's what it looks like, doesn't it? Ardaric snorted in contempt. Nobody dies of a nosebleed. He's been in battle all his life. He was wounded many times and never bled to death. It was poison.
Do you think so?
Asked Priscus, his eyes wide in shock. I do, said Ardaric. And I've been thinking about you. Emperor Theodosius sent you to us 4 years ago with the ambassador Maximinus. Your interpreter, Vigilus, was caught in a plot to assassinate Attila. Instead of having all of you killed, Attila sent you back to your emperor in Constantinople. Maybe that was a mistake, and maybe Vigilus was not the only one who came to kill the king. Onegesius poured wine into Attila's goblet, then held it out.
Prove you didn't poison him. Drink it.
Priscus said,
I don't know if it's poisoned or not. If the wine is poisoned, that won't prove I was the poisoner. I certainly wasn't in here with the High King and his bride on their wedding night. All my drinking it might do is kill me too. Your fear convicts you.
Onegesius's free hand moved toward the hilt of his sword. Priscus took the goblet.
If I die, remember, I'm an innocent man.
He lifted it to his lips and drained it. The others waited and watched Priscus closely. Elak stepped closer.
Well, Priscus, I don't feel anything. It tastes like wine. Bitter, sour, like all other wine. Sweet, like fruit, but with a few drops of vinegar.
Ardaric sniffed the goblet, took some of the wine on his finger, and put a drop on his tongue. He nodded to Onegesius, dropped the goblet on the carpet by the body of the High King, and walked out. It called out to the warriors, there was no poison. He died of a sickness. Priscus followed Ardaric out of the chamber and made his way through the milling crowd of warriors. With their anguished, blood-streaked faces, they made a frightening sight. These were men who had never done anything in their lives but kill. They fought, ate, sometimes even slept on horseback. They had, in about 3 generations, conquered tribes from the grasslands beyond the Volga to Gaul. This morning, their greatest leader had been taken from them. Who could say what their grief and anger might make them do to a stranger from a foreign country? Priscus walked briskly with his head down, not letting his eyes rest on any of the warriors streaming toward the High King's tent. He went to his own quarters and prepared an altar with a row of lighted candles for the purpose of praying for Attila's soul. After all, Attila had listened to Priscus and the other Romans when they talked of Christianity, and once he had met with Pope Leo at Mantua and made an agreement. Something might have planted a seed of faith in his mind. In any case, it was best to mourn him as visibly as possible. Priscus also vomited and drank a great deal of water and then vomited again and found it settled his nerves. Late in the day, he left his own small tent and walked toward the center of the encampment. He saw that the High King's tent had been struck. Not far off, a large open space had been cleared. What had arisen on that spot was an immense white vision. He walked to it and touched it in wonder. A vast tent made entirely of white silk had been erected. It moved and billowed in the breeze as he walked to the opening and looked inside. In the center was a bier that displayed the body of the High King, lying in state, in bright and costly clothes of purple and red, befitting a warrior king, and with arms of the finest quality inlaid with gold and gems. Around the bier rode the savage horsemen, the High King's best warriors, many of them kings of their own tribes and nations. They were riding around and around in a circle, singing of his exploits and victories, their faces cut